I'm Ellie Sturton, the host of The Kingston Curator, and every Friday, 3 p.m., you can join me for all things arts. Tune in to hear interviews with local artists, authors, musicians, and more. I talk about the latest arts news and upcoming events. You won't want to miss it. Today, I'm going to start by giving you a brief rundown of what's happening around town this weekend, and then we'll get into some interviews. Today I'll be sharing a conversation I had with Sandy Griffiths, who is the events manager for Downtown Kingston. This weekend is the 35th annual Kingston Buskers Rendezvous, so we have performers coming in from all over the world, ready to share their unique street performances all throughout the downtown core. There's also children's programming and an artisan market running on Saturday and Sunday. Sandy has been working hard to make this all happen, so stay tuned to hear all the details direct from her. I'll also be sharing a conversation I had with Lindsay Schindler, who is a member of Maggie's Wake, a fantastic Celtic folk band with an upcoming concert in Lyndhurst, Ontario. Thanks to Maggie's Wake, we're lucky enough to be running a giveaway, so if you're interested in seeing their concert on July 26th in Lyndhurst, Ontario, just go to CFRC's Instagram and check out our latest Kingston Curator post for instructions on how to enter. Alright, so coming up are your live music events happening around town this weekend. On Friday, folks can see Riley Merrigan play country at Time Out Bar and Bistro at 3 p.m., followed by Tim Campbell with Blues Originals from 6 to 8 p.m. The Broom Factory is hosting an all-ages indie showcase with Friday's Child and the Lost Congregation, Lake Porter, and Bad Fortune from 7:30 to 10 p.m., and tickets are $20. Over at Next Church, Walks of Life Open Mic runs from 7:30 to 9 p.m. with music, poetry, and comedy. And at 7:30 p.m., Tina, the ultimate tribute to the Queen of Rock, Rock and Roll hits the Grand Theater starring Caroline Barol. Tickets range from $39 to $65. On Saturday, Johnny Iguana and the Claudettes bring Garage Blues Cabaret to the RCHA from 8 to 11 p.m., with tickets going for $40. See the Amanda Keeley Trio play indie folk at the Cove Inn from 5 to 8 p.m. by donation. Or Doug Vanderhorden performing rock and indie at Juniper Cafe from 4 to 6 p.m. At 7:30 p.m., Alan Doyle plays the Drill Hall at Base 31, and tickets for that show start at $69. Folks can catch Edgar Bro's Dreamy Acoustic Folk at Hotel Wolf Island from 8:30 to 10:20 p.m., or see the Retrofits debut at K&R Sports Bar from 8 to 11 p.m. with classics and modern rock. Over at Spearhead Brewery, Ethan Crosby plays jazz and soul from 2 to 5 p.m., followed by Neil Carter from 7 to 10 p.m. with hits you'll know and love. Also on Saturday, the Waterside Summer Series presents Cameron Crosman and Megan Malatz at St. Paul's Church at 3:15 p.m. with cello and piano. Tickets are $45 or $22.50 for youth. And don't miss the Vibrant Voices Song Circle from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Central Library. It's free, all ages, and open to all 2SLGBTQIA+ voices. Finally, see Fast Forward to Friday perform at the Legion Branch 560 from 8 to midnight with timeless rock and good vibes. On Sunday, Jazz Brunch returns to the Black Dog Tavern from 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. with the Black Dog All-Stars and vocalist Chantal Thompson. Finkel's Shore Park hosts Live Music Sundays from 2 to 5 p.m. featuring Abby Stewart, Whiskey Smoke, and the Garvin Brothers. And over at Musiki Cafe, Savannah Shea plays folk and indie from 2 to 4 p.m. Then from 4 to 7 p.m. at Hotel Wolf Island, catch jazz favorites Standards at 7. And later that night, experimental folk duo C. Jones and Mike Gangloff play from 8:30 to 11 p.m. also at Hotel Wolf Island. Have a local concert you would like covered on CFRC's website and our news programming? Contact us today via cfrc.ca. And now let's hear about some great community events happening around town this weekend. On Friday, the Buskers Rendezvous continues with more performances from 1 to 11 p.m. and family fun at Busker Play from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Then at 7 p.m., Spearhead Brewery hosts Take It Off, the drag and burlesque show. Rowena Way returns with Do Lily, James and the Giant Pasty, and Tiffany Morgan. It's 19+, with tickets at $22.60 in advance or $25 at the door. And starting at 9 p.m., Buskers After Dark takes over Springer Market Square, hosted by Seb and Fritz with beats by DJ Trueways. This 19+ show blends street art with dance floor energy and has a licensed bar from Daft Brewing. On Saturday, the Buskers Rendezvous continues downtown with Busker performances, street corner acts, and the Busker Play Zone. And the opening of the Artisan Market in Confederation Park from 10 to 6 p.m. Over at Hotel Wolf Island, catch a free screening of Foot by Kayak at 4:30 p.m. This local documentary by Laura and Liam Douglas features music from Teilhard Frost and the Gertrudes and includes a post-film Q&A. And on Sunday, start your morning with yoga in the park from 10 to 11 a.m. at Battery Park. It's a free all-levels session by the water. It's also the final day of the Buskers Rendezvous, running from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. with street shows, performances, and again, the Artisan Market from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And finally, don't miss the coffee party with DJ Trueways from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sydenham Street. For just $15, you'll get unlimited coffee and pastries from downtown cafes, plus a morning dance party soundtracked by Trueways himself. Wristbands are limited to 250 people, so don't wait. Have a local event you would like covered on CFRC's website and our news programming? Contact us today via cfrc.ca. Those were the events and concerts that folks can look forward to this weekend. Now coming up, you'll hear a conversation between myself, Ellie Sturton, and Sandy Griffiths, the Downtown Kingston Events Manager. You might have heard me mention the Kingston Buskers Rendezvous, and if you're interested in learning more, Sandy is the person to talk to. She has been working hard to make this event possible, and in this interview, you'll hear her talk about new programming this year, the history of the festival, and how it supports the Kingston community. The big upcoming event that you've been working on is the 35th annual Kingston Buskers Rendezvous.
35 years we've been doing this.
I guess to start off, for people who don't know, could you give a brief description of what the Buskers Rendezvous is?
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, a busker festival is a festival of street performance art. So it started 35 years ago when we were hosting sidewalk sales downtown and had the idea to bring in some, you know, some jugglers, some balloon twisters to sort of augment the event. And it just grew from there. And so I believe we are the second longest running busker festival in Canada. I think Halifax has us beat by a year. But basically, it's 4 days of street performance. So you'll see everything from, you know, fire performances to acrobats to, oh my goodness, unicycles and flaming whips and balloon twisting and magic. And it's a really, really fun 4 days.
So 35 years and counting, why do you think busking and busker performances has been so successful?
I think, you know, it's such a family-friendly event, and we have such success with those sort of events in Kingston, and we actually do get a lot of tourists that come specifically for the event. The event is entirely free, which is, you know, definitely nice for families. And every year we try to make it new and exciting. So this year is a bit of an anniversary, but we also introduced a bunch of new elements this year. And so every year there's something new to expect. And we're always, because of the reputation of the festival, we're able to draw performers from all over the world. So we have, this year we have performers from Estonia, Taiwan, Japan, London, Australia. And so we're pretty proud of that reputation, but because of that, we're able to bring in some really phenomenal acts. And I think just that and keeping it new and fresh is what people really enjoy and expect from the festival.
Can you name a few of the new things this year? What can people look forward to?
Yeah, absolutely. So last year we debuted like a new evening called Buskers After Dark. Essentially, it was like a massive fire performance and we had live music. We brought in a DJ from Montreal who was so fun and so fantastic. And we got so many requests after the event to bring him back. So this year, we are going to do Buskers After Dark again. This year, it's going to be on Friday night. We will license the whole of Springer Market Square. Daft Brewery will be on site. And we've got DJ Trueways, who is back with us. And he's been collaborating with the many performers that we have that do fire as part of their show. So it starts at 9 o'clock, runs till 11, and it's going to just be like a fun party of fire and dance and all of that good stuff. So I'm really excited about that. And then for families with kids, we have a whole new area called Juggle Junction. So we were very fortunate to get some grant money this year from Experience Ontario. So we extended our children's programming. So in Confederation Park, behind the Visitor Information Center, which is where the big train is, we will have a massive kids' play area. We have three huge inflatable bouncy castles. We've got a really long collaborative coloring tent. We will have live kids' music. And then we've also got our busker boot camp. So we've asked some of our performers to teach classes to kids on how to busk. So we have juggling lessons, we've got balloon twisting lessons, we've got beatboxing lessons. And so we're really, really excited about Juggle Junction. I think that's going to be a highlight for people for sure.
So Juggle Junction is aimed for the kids. Is Buskers After Dark mainly young adult focused or,
Yeah, it's definitely an older crowd. We do still get some kids, but we try very hard. But because the whole square is licensed, we tend to get, yeah, sort of like teenager and up. It ends up being like a massive dance party, which was so fun last year. I think we had about 4,000 people in the square,
Wow.
and we sell tons of fun like glow wands, and it's just a really, really fun and vibrant environment. So yeah, that definitely tends to be the older crowd. And then we've got our kids programming, and that runs through the day.
So, busking and kind of performance art, having it run through the downtown in a very accessible and open way, I think is so, such a nice way to bring people together. But I wanted to ask you, why do you think this kind of art is beneficial for the community?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like I think that any sort of festival, whether we're talking about music or performance art, public art, any of those sort of elements that we can bring to the events that we do is super important. I think there's sort of a collective appreciation and community that develops because of those experiences. And we see that all the time. And I think that that just speaks to why this festival has been around for 35 years, is because people sort of crave that. They crave that sense of community. Because we, like I said, we're able to bring in sort of performers from all over the world. They're curious, and it's a really just sort of fun experience. We do like to, these sort of events, we like to have as many free events as we can so that everyone who lives in the area or people who are visiting are able to enjoy everything we have to offer. But yeah, anytime we can bring people together and build up those sort of community experiences and community spaces, that's really why Downtown Kingston exists as an organization. So we want to bring people down here. We want them to have memorable experiences. We want them to recognize how lucky we are to have such a beautiful and vibrant downtown, and we want them to keep coming back. So yeah, and art is one of the most important ways that we can do that.
I also wanted to ask about the artisan market. That's running for 2 days, right?
Yeah, so we have a market that will be in Confederation Park is going to be a pretty busy place on the Saturday and Sunday especially. So we're very fortunate. We work with Kingston Holiday Market, so they also organize like the Christmas markets at the Tet, and they're a really lovely group to work with. So we work with them to have a busker market, and essentially what that means is, yes, we've got lots of local artisans who set up. I believe we've got between 50 and 60 that will be set up on Saturday and Sunday, and they differ. They're different each day. So if you come down Saturday and you take a little shop and you think you've seen it all, not true, because we'll have new vendors on the Sunday. Yeah, and it adds so much to the festival experience. I think people go to festivals now expecting to have that sort of experience, and again, like anytime we can support local artisans, We're super happy to do that. So, yes, they will be on site Saturday and Sunday from 11 to 5.
Amazing. Do you know any of the specific artisans or businesses that people might see?
Oh my gosh, there is such a range. So we have lots of jewelry vendors, lots of like beautiful candles and like soaps and things for pets. Like it really runs like the full gamut. And then of course we have beautiful sort of people who do visual art and that sort of stuff. So I think there's a little bit something for everybody for sure.
Awesome. And then on the final day of the Buskers Rendezvous, there's a grand finale, and I was wondering if you could tell me what that is.
Yeah, absolutely. So, if you're not able to make it down for, the Thursday, Friday, Saturday of the festival, grand finale is a perfect sort of way to see all of our performers do kind of their best 5 to 7 minutes. And the grand finale is also the one performance that that happens over the course of the 4 days where the money doesn't go to the performers. We actually raise money for the United Way's Success by Six program. So it's a program that helps children to succeed before the age of six. And I think over the course of the 35 years, we've donated over $50,000 to that program. We often get asked the question, do we pay our performers? And the answer is no. So we do provide our performers with accommodations. We have very generous downtown restaurants who provide the performers with meal vouchers, but we don't pay them for their actual performing. And so we Kingston audiences are really, really fantastic, and they know that this is how the festival operates. And so they're very generous with how they compensate the performers when they do a hat pass. The finale is a little bit different, so the performers still do a big hat pass, but all of that money goes to charity. So yes, we've got 10 Circle Show performers. They'll all do sort of their best 5 to 7 minutes of their usual 30-minute show. And then we name our People's Choice winner. So all over the festival, you'll see QR codes where you can scan and vote for your favorite performer. And we announce that winner at the finale. So we also have our judges there. We've got a judging panel as well, some like local media. So it's just a fun event, and it's a really great way to get a snapshot of like each performer, if you haven't had a chance to take in their whole show.
Last year's People's Choice Award-winning performance duo Seb and Fritz, they're returning this year.
Yeah, so that's kind of the bonus. If you win People's Choice, then you automatically get invited back the following year. Typically, we start taking applications from performers no in November the year before, and then we start sending invitations out usually in January. If you win, then you automatically are invited to come back, and we're very fortunate that they are coming back. They're definitely a local favorite. They were also the first group or duo, I guess, who's ever won People's Choice 2 years in a row. So this will be their third year back. And I talked to Seb today, and he promised that they've got some new and exciting tricks for everybody. So again, if you think you've seen them, you always have to come back because they've always got something new and inventive, usually involving fire whips, so and beatboxing.
What a combo. Well, I guess you've been working on the Buskers Rendezvous for a couple of years then.
So this will be my fourth.
You've had a little bit of time to see it develop, but how do you see it developing in the coming years?
I don't know. I feel like with festivals like this, there's always opportunities, especially with kids programming. There's so many like fun and inventive things that we sort of have on our wish list. Definitely Juggle Junction. We're super excited for that. We wouldn't be able to do that without the help of Experience Ontario. The BIA itself operates as a nonprofit, and so we sort of rely on grant applications, and we rely on phenomenal roster of volunteers to pull off the festival. And so, but we're always looking for new and fun ways to engage with kids. And then, of course, Buskers After Dark was sort of a surprise to all of us. We thought it sounded fun. In year one, it kind of blew up. And so I can definitely see, that continuing. Last year, we had a local graffiti artist on site for that, who did some live graffiti art while the event was happening, which we really loved. So I'd like to incorporate some sort of more of that as we move forward, sort of live visual art. That was really well received and people loved to sort of stand and watch Erin paint. And so incorporating some more of that, I really, every year we sit around with like a phenomenal group of creative people and it's just like, let's blue sky it and just see what we can do. So
So it is, there's a lot of volunteers involved.
yes, even more so this year because Juggle Junction is such a big undertaking. But we've got about 50 volunteers who help. So they run everything from the info tent to the green room, which is where our performers sort of go in between shows to kind of unwind and rest. And our volunteers run a shuttle service from the Queen's residence, where all of the performers stay, to the performance space. We offer that. This year, we'll also be conducting surveys. Again, so as part of our grant with Experience Ontario, they're helping us to fund an economic impact study so that we can, ask people attending the festival, where they're from, what they love about the festival, how long they're staying, their favorites. They're not so favorites, which just provides us with tons of information on how to improve the festival moving forward. So we've got survey takers. They really do so much. And, like I said, we wouldn't been able to do something of this scale without them. Last night we had our volunteer meeting, and I think there was one woman who this year will be her 17th Buskers Festival that she's volunteered for. So we have some sort of longstanding relationships that we really value. And so it's a pretty special group for sure. I tend to get emotional when you see it, sort of all happening, especially on those busy Saturdays. And there's so many people just enjoying themselves and laughing and having fun. And those moments are just, I really like to take a step back and appreciate those moments, and see all those smiling faces because, we have a lot of people behind the scenes who are working hard and it really is worth it when you get to have that experience. So,
Yeah.
plus I'm a sap.
Get to see all your hard work pay off. That makes
It's
sense.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for chatting with me about it.
Thanks, Ellie.
You just heard a conversation between myself, Ellie Sturton, and Sandy Griffiths, the Downtown Kingston Events Manager. We chatted about the 35th annual Kingston Buskers Rendezvous. It'll be a fun weekend, so I hope everybody can make it out. Now coming up, a conversation with Lindsay Schindler from Maggie's Way, the amazing Celtic folk band. We talk about their award-winning music and their upcoming concerts. Today I'm here with Lindsay Schindler from the female-fronted contemporary Celtic folk band Maggie's Wake. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So I guess to start off, could you just tell me a little bit about Maggie's Wake?
Sure, yeah, we are based in southwestern Ontario. We are comprised of four primary members, myself and Tara Dunphy, and we both are fiddlers and singers, and Tara plays some other instruments as well, the tin whistle and flute. We also have a bass player and guitarist, play contemporary folk music with Celtic instrumentation, so there's a lot of Celtic influence there as well.
What inspires your music? Why Celtic folk?
A lot inspires our music. I think our both our musical history and also our family history and our roots and where we're coming from. So Tara is very Irish. She is the first member of her family to be born in Canada. Everybody else was born in Ireland. So there's a really strong tie to Ireland. And I also have roots in Ireland and also Scotland. And my family is on the east coast of Canada. So we've kind of got that in our history. Being fiddle players, it's kind of a natural style of music that we're drawn to. And being Canadian, we grew up in Canadian folk music and just surrounded by that. So it just kind of, it's all coming together in one unique package. Our music is influenced by where we come from, but it's also influenced by our musical backgrounds. And for me, I grew up a classical violinist rebel who turned to fiddle music and really got into that because of my roots. Tara is a classic country fiddler. Our bass player's background is jazz. We've got a classical guitar. So we have all these crazy influences coming in that create, like I said, it's just a completely unique kind of sound. And I think it's partly based on what we've come from.
So was it you and Tara who started Maggie's Wake?
Yes, it was. Prior to Maggie's Wake, I had a band called Rant Maggie Rant, and that band toured for about 10 years. And when we got to around the COVID period of time, that band was coming to a conclusion. And we wanted to celebrate the band and do a final tour and invite some guests out. So we invited Tara. And when we played together, we just had so much fun. We thought we have to keep this going. And we came up with Maggie's Wake.
What have you been up to this summer?
This summer, we have been up to a lot. We've been touring, playing shows all over the place. We've been around Ontario mostly and into the US a little bit. We're starting into our second album. So we've been writing. We've been, you know, in the early stages of recording and staying busy that way.
I saw that you also attended the Canadian Folk Music Awards and ended up winning the New Emerging Artists of the Year category.
We did. We were absolutely blown away. We were blown away by the nomination. We're a pretty new band. We had just released our first album last March on St. Patrick's Day, and it was nominated for the Canadian Folk Music Awards, and we were completely surprised. We, of course, went to Ottawa because we thought this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go and take in these awards, and it was complete disbelief when they called our name as the emerging artist. So that's pretty special.
You won for your debut self-titled album, Maggie's Wake. What's that album all about?
Well, it was, like I said, we kind of began this project through COVID. And this was, a lot of artists have a song that they wrote through that time. We have an entire album. That's what we kind of did during that time. And, you know, safely from a distance and throwing tracks back and forth. And we came out with this, and it's really, I think the main focus of this album is hope. And it's enjoying every moment that you have and every day that you have. And a lot of the songs come back to that.
Is there a song that you really feel strongly about, or like, do you have a favorite song on your album?
It's hard to pick. Certainly, Bridget O'Brien is probably the most popular choice as a song. It was our debut single, and it's a great song. So there's that option. The Life That You Made, I think, is absolutely beautiful, and it really resonates with the whole theme of that album.
How do you guys write? Like, how is that kind of the creation process divided? Or, yeah, what is that?
It's very different for each of us, I think. Tara and I both share the writing duty. I mainly write the instrumentals. So I write all the tunes, and the band is very instrumental in the arrangement of that. And Tara writes most of the songs, and our processes are quite different, I think. We've done a co-write so far, and there may be more coming up. But for me, it's just, with them being tunes, they're more just inspired by emotion and what I'm feeling and just what comes out. And it's very much sharing emotion and sharing stories. The songs are all stories, whether they're true or not. and we have both, but they are definitely something special.
Speaking of your music, you have an upcoming concert at Furnace Falls Farm on July 26th in Lyndhurst, Ontario. How are you feeling?
I am super excited. I've heard about this venue. I've seen pictures of this venue. It looks gorgeous. It looks like a great time. And it looks like it's perfectly suited for our music.
I've never been to the venue. Can you give a little description?
Well, I think it's like an old barn that's been converted to a music and arts space. And it just seems so pure and unique. And I can only imagine in that space. We've played at other barns before, and the acoustics are great. The, you know, just the environment is great. It's fun. We will be playing all of the tracks from the album there. Maybe a couple that are coming up, so not yet released. Yeah, and some other surprises in there as well.
What's the energy like when you perform with Maggie's Wake?
It's incredible. I don't know if there's any way to really describe it, but we have such a great time. We really enjoy each other on and off stage. So we have a lot of fun. We absolutely love what we're doing. And there is a great energy from the music, which brings out a great energy from the audience. And it's just kind of a back and forth thing.
Yeah.
It's a pretty special thing. And I think with any live music, it's just so good for the soul. And we really feel that.
I wanted to ask, what's next for Maggie's Wake? It sounds like maybe your second album is the big project at hand.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're that's very much on the horizon right now, is focusing on writing and finishing and then recording this second album.
What's the second album, if you can tell me, kind of what's the mood or the energy of the second album?
Well, I don't know if I can tell you that yet, but I want to say that it's similar to the first, and it might be pushing the boundaries even a little bit further, a little bit more energy, a little bit, I don't want to say it's more creative, because I feel like our first album was very creative as well, but, you know, add 2 to 3 years of working together and creating together, I feel like we're growing as that package. So I hope that this will reflect that also.
It's a mix of like traditional folk and kind of contemporary influences. How do those two work together?
Like tradition, meaning like, yeah, the style of the songs, the form of the songs, sometimes the feel of the songs, and the contemporary is, you know, modern day issues, modern day concerns, and the instrumentation, bringing in a bass, electric bass, and bringing in drums when we do that. Like, those things aren't traditional to this style of music. So it's kind of elevating it and giving it a little bit more, I think, more energy, more body, which gives it more excitement, makes it feel more contemporary. So I think, you know, we're taking these traditions, which are all really important to us, and then we're bringing in these modern day elements and concerns, society, you know, everything that's going on in this world. And I think it makes it more relatable to everybody now. Generally, the response that people who may not even expect to enjoy it, or think, I've never heard that before, and they come out and they love it. I mean, there's something about the style of music that just can connect with you.
Is there anywhere else that people can see Maggie's Wake perform if they can't make it out for that concert?
Well, for sure. I'm not sure how close these places are. We're playing in Picton as well. And that is the night before Lyndhurst. We're actually doing a tour for 7 days, I believe, across Ontario, starting in Hilton Beach, which is near Sault Ste. Marie, and playing there, Bob Cajun, Picton, Lyndhurst, and Wakefield, Quebec. So we're kind of doing a little loop through Ontario. But definitely check out our website. We've got lots of dates coming up, coming back to the region down the road. So if you can't catch us this time around, I'd encourage you to have a look at what's coming up.
So on your website, is that how people can find tickets?
Yeah, we have listed most of our upcoming dates that tickets are available for.
Thank you so, so much for chatting with me today.
Thank you.
That was a conversation between myself, Ellie Sturton, and Lindsay Schindler from Maggie's Wake. Just a reminder, we're doing a ticket giveaway, so you can win 2 free tickets to their upcoming concert on July 26th. Just head to CFRC's Instagram at CFRC Music and follow the instructions on the latest Kingston Curator post. And that's all for this week's installation of The Kingston Curator. I'm your host, Ellie Sturton, and you can catch me each week Friday at 3 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM. Have a great weekend.